IVM.
You're listening to the podcast presented by the Daily Pow.
This is Pranati,
Amit,
and Purba,
and we're from the dailypow.com, a city-specific food and culture website, and this is our weekly podcast, The Podcast. Now, in this episode of The Podcast, we have with us Siddharth Chakravarti, who is the co-founder of Marine Life of Mumbai, a group that conducts walks on the shores of Bombay, and this is an installment of Metro Station in which we talk about city news and history. So stay tuned for Metro Station.
Metro Station.
So in this episode, we have with us Siddharth Chakravarti. Hi, Siddharth. He is a co-founder of Marine Life of Mumbai, which is a group that conducts walks on the shores of the city. And it's when did this start? It's fairly new, right?
In April was your first. Yeah.
So we had our first meeting in the beginning of February. So that's Pradeep, Abhishek, and I. The three of us met. We started it in March, and then April and May have been 2 months where we had walks. Along the shores, yes.
Okay.
And you did one just last week, right?
Yes. So with the onset of the monsoons, we went to Chowpatty, Haji Ali, and Bandra. So three locations.
Okay.
And we had a resource person each. We invited people. It was sort of an internal thing, but yes, we did have one.
So tell us about the walk. Like, what does it involve?
So it's interesting that... So Bombay's got something that's a diurnal tide. That means you've got two low tides and two high tides in the day. And every time the moon's full, it's rising 12 hours after the sun. So you've got the spring tides, which means that the tidal levels would be maximum that day. So, for example, on Sunday when we had the walk, we had the low tide at zero, which is chart datum, and we had the high tide at about 5.2 meters. So that's a good about 18 feet of water that's rising and receding. And what happens on these spring tide days is that the water goes back those extra few meters. And that's the intertidal region that you don't see for the rest of the month. So we can only have walks once every 28 days.
Like the secrets of the sea being revealed to you.
Absolutely. So and it is interesting because when we take people to the walk, we're still about, say, half an hour before it's the lowest tide. And then as that water starts receding, you'll see things crawling beneath you. And it almost becomes hard for people to step around everything that's crawling. There's a lot of crabs and snails and other small life that start coming out of the water. And that's what we're trying to take people to see.
Do you see any, like, mutant creatures that have been... I don't know.
Firstly, let's just talk about what you do see, which is you see corals, sponges, slugs, snails, clams, crabs, like pretty much a whole very diverse range of marine life, which a lot of people don't expect to see in Bombay, right?
Yeah, I mean, you would just imagine that there's no marine life at all because the waters are so dirty that nothing can survive.
So, I mean, one of the reasons we started the walk was precisely to take people out. And it's a unique experience because you're at this part of the city that you usually don't set foot on. It's a time of day which is on a weekend very early in the morning, so generally the city is asleep. And once you're out away onto that intertidal zone, it's kind of quiet. You only hear the sounds of the waves. So all three of those anyway are something that a lot of people are experiencing for the first time. And then as you start seeing corals and snails and other fish and life coming around, I think that the idea and the essence of the walk is pretty much for people to walk away with that experience that says it's not how much you've seen or how unique it is, but the fact that you can still see things.
Yeah.
And that's what we've got a responsibility or perhaps an interest to try and preserve. So that's the idea of the walk.
You'll function as a Facebook group and you'll put up pictures of the things that you spot. And I mean, it's quite amazing some of the things that have put up pictures of. There's like this blue dollar. It's like a, what exactly is that? That blue... very sort of vibrant.
So that's our profile picture as well at the moment. Yeah. And it's known as a porpita. And that is a sign that the monsoons are advancing.
Okay.
So it won't be there now. But when we went on our May walk, that in the tide pools is a sure indication that the monsoons are on.
What is it?
So, I'm not the biologist, so I can't say that. But I do know it's a porpita. And one of the reasons that the page is very specific is so that anybody can look at the common name, the scientific name, its size, date and time where it was spotted, what substrate it lives on, and what the tide and the time was. And the idea is that for people like ourselves who aren't biologists or haven't studied, can sort of get an idea of what they're looking at and have a local name when we have it, have the scientific name which we provide. And even for contributors, those are very specific guidelines, which is, mm-hmm. you know, we need that information for the post to be published on the page.
Okay, but do you get a lot of, I mean, this is the kind of thing and that I imagine that you get a lot of photographers and amateur, you know, amateur photographers coming in wanting to sort of, you know, enjoy almost.
Because I mean, the pictures are great on the Facebook
page. They make for great photographs.
Yeah.
So is that what, I mean, the walks that you've had so far, you've had a pretty great response, right? You limited to 25, so it's manageable, but like, still quite big.
Yeah, so again, Marine Life of Mumbai had the three of us who started it. And mm-hmm. one of the things that we've been telling all our volunteers, the people who come on the walks, is that please become volunteers, because we'd like to have more than 25 people. We'd like to spread it out across multiple locations in the city. And I think that's the absolute magic of smartphones. It's not people coming with SLRs and fancy lights.
Yeah.
It's people coming with their smartphones, being able to take photographs and then going back, doing some research on the internet of what they've seen, mm-hmm. and then sending us that as an email that we can publish. So I think the response has been great, and we'd love for more people to become part of Marine Life of Mumbai on the resource side, so that we can have, say, 10 walks across the city on that low tide day, so that there's about 250 people getting out there and taking in different parts
of
the city.
Among the spots that you mentioned, which of them are the best to spot marine life?
So what's very interesting is that Bombay's got a lot of different coastlines. I mean, in terms of, they could be completely distinct from the other. So if you go to Shirdi, you've got mud flats. If you go to Girgaon Chowpatty, that's completely sandy. Juhu, Versova would be sandy as well. And then Haji Ali and Carter Road are rock pools or tide pools. Haji Ali doesn't have a lot of city effluence going in there, so it's a lot more diverse than, say, Carter Road. But Carter Road has had sewage coming in with fresh water, so now there's mangroves over there, which creates a unique ecosystem in its own. So I think each one is very unique, and you don't find the same thing across the city. So
I was going to ask you, is there any repetition, you know, in what you'll see or spot?
No, there's a very distinct variety in what we see, the kinds of fish that come in, what the fishermen are catching.
Right.
It's all very distinct. Again, a biologist is very fascinated. So we've got people who are doing their PhDs in corals and sponges. We've had somebody else who's come and done their doctorate in river turtles. But for them to sort of see the nuance difference in each of these sites, they've come back on two or three of the walks. I think that's one of the joys as well, which is that Facebook is acting as a timeline of the diversity in spots that are mere 5-6 kilometers from each other.
So tell us about your background and your co-founder's background, and how exactly did you all come together to start this?
So we started this page with the three of us. It was Pradeep, Abhishek and myself. Pradeep's the senior most, and he's our main resource person. He's been a kayaking instructor on Girgaon Chowpatty, and he's someone who's from Girgaon, so one of the original settlements that is still around. And he's been walking these coasts for 20-25 years. And basically, he is not a biologist. He's not somebody who studied biology, but just by walking, interacting with the fishermen and seeing sort of patterns in when, say, the popita can be seen, or when certain times nudibranchs or sharks or, you know, can be seen. So he's developed this kind of understanding that this is how the pattern of life is shifting along the city. Mm-hmm. These are the people who are the experts. This is the fishing community that uses this net at the time. So he brings that to the table. Abhishek is someone who studies purse seine, which is a kind of fishing gear for catching tuna. And he looks at the interaction of marine mammals, so the humpback dolphin, with that fishing gear off the coast of Karwar. So he's sort of mid out to sea. And I had a background in marine conservation, looking at crimes in the high seas and looking at enforcement in an industrial fisheries model. So the three of us have all had interactions with the ocean, and they've been in certain proximities. So I think bringing that together has formed a very interesting mix of
and you all just knew each other socially
It started with through common people. And for me, I met Pradeep because of my work because of the work of the Shivaji statue and the coastal road. So, you know, we are interested people in seeing and following this. So somebody introduced us. I was giving a talk in Bangalore at a nature festival, and that's when I met Abhishek. So then when we realized we were both in Bombay, then we met. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of randomness that has happened. Yeah.
I mean, it's surprising that so much marine life survives in the city, which is, you know, in the waters, which are so polluted. How do these creatures survive? Because, you know, you keep reading in the papers about how fishermen have to go further and further out into the sea to catch any fish, and how, you know, from 5 kilometers from the shore of Bombay, there's just no fish in the sea. So, I mean, it's amazing that these survive in extremely polluted waters.
So there's the happy side to it, and then there's the really sad side to it as well. So what you're saying is absolutely right. And the fishermen are traveling further away, and everything that we are seeing is largely unedible. It's not fish or marine life that have become part of the human diet. So, for example, Pradeep has documented 40 species of crabs, of which only 14 or 16 are actually edible ones. So most often the fishermen will release these back, which is why they've survived. The other is that nature is extremely resilient. I mean, in spite of all the effluents and the sewage and the human excreta and all of that that is going in, they do find a way to survive. And that's what we talk about on our walks as well, is, you know, we've got to give all of this a chance by making some very drastic ways in which this city regulates its trash and waste. And it's not just the marine life. I mean, everything from the Deonar dumping ground to the other dumping ground of Bhandup, all the migratory birds are going and eating that plastic and that trash that is going from the city, and it's not treated. So, but they are surviving. There is a lot of plastic in their bellies now. Some of them make it, some of them don't. And that's also the sad part of what we are seeing. But, you know, interestingly, having been in Bombay, there's two sides to the city. One is that we love our seafood. People come from outside to say, oh my God, the seafood here is so good. And the other side is nobody really gets into the water anymore other than a few feet deep, up to their knees maybe. And this is sort of trying to say, well, if you're eating the seafood there, then obviously you find it good enough, then why don't you get in there? And then what else is there other than humans that live along the shores of the city? Right. And this is the life that lives there. Come and have and enjoy it for a little bit.
Do right. The fisher folk get involved? Because they must be having like a lot of knowledge about what's like immediately washing up or something. Is that the case? Do they?
So whenever we've gone on our walks, there is a fishing community that fishes that shore. And thanks to Pradeep, there's been an interaction with them and there's a goodwill that exists. That the Koli fishing community in this city has time and again over the last 3-4 decades just been pushed to a corner. Every developmental project, whether you talk about the recent coastal road, you talk about the Shivaji statue, you talk about the reclamations, you talk about the promenades that have been built, everything has pushed Koli communities to a little corner. And therefore, that sort of connection is a very hard one to forge, because there is this understanding that somebody's wanting to take advantage of us again. So it's not easy to do, but and that's what we've said as well. It doesn't have to be alive for it to be documented as being a part of the city's shoreline.
Right.
So one of the good ways is to go to the fish markets, to go to what the fishermen are catching in their nets and sort of document what they're catching, because all of that is part of the biodiversity as well.
And how much are, you know, you were talking about the Shivaji statue and the coastal road, how much are they going to affect, you know, even this kind of marine life?
The problem is that we don't really know. What we are documenting now perhaps goes back 2-3 decades. That's the most. But everything before that is already such an altered ecosystem that we don't know what was before the initial 7 islands were put together. We don't know what existed, how the tides used to move, how the mangroves used to exist. And these projects are coming in and saying, well, Bombay is already a very altered city. For the sake of public convenience, we can, you know, construct these projects. The idea of the page is, let's build that repository so that at least from here on, we've got a timeline and a baseline, because all of these projects are not going to stop overnight. There's going to be more advanced versions of them happening all over the place. And perhaps when the DP or the developmental plan has public hearings, there's a group of people who can access the data, because it also serves to act as an open repository of information, that people come in, look at the data, go back and ask their corporators and their MLAs, and talk to them about the fact that all of this is going to be displaced with the next project that's coming up. But yes, there is going to be an impact. How significant? In my personal opinion, I would say it's going to be very significant. But then again, development is looked upon from the government side, which says that there has to be a payoff. Sadly, the payoff comes at the price of what's in the shoreline.
Yeah, so. And I don't know what payoff comes from having a Shivaji statue. But anyway, but you know, you also sort of encourage people to go on their own walks, right? I mean, tell them to do this. So do you have any sort of guidelines, any tips for people who want to just go out?
And that's exactly what we want to do. We don't want to be the people who are taking people for walks. So the only reason we've held off from putting the guidelines is because of the monsoon. We know that it's risky. The waters can sort of surge into the shore very quickly. But as the monsoons recede, we'll be putting up a set of guidelines on where to access tide tables, what kind of footwear to wear, what they can observe, what's a good time to go. And then just encourage people to use that and go around the city.
And also how to find these things, right? I mean, flip over rocks. And
I mean, there's a lot of policing around Carter Road and Bandstand about what paths you can access as well. So
yeah, and like
it'll be nice to know
how do you access those areas, is it?
There isn't actually a lot of policing. At that low tide area, so you can't get into the mangroves. But open rocks on the low tide. So, for example, Carter Road, you've got the temple right by the path in front of the amphitheater. You can walk three times that distance on the low tide and you end up with a jetty that used to be there and it's exposed only on that one day of the month. And you can walk right to the ocean's edge. Chimbai, you can walk off the dhakka that has been built there and walk past the mangroves to the edge. Same thing with Haji Ali. From the Dargah side, you can get off the rocks. We've gone with 43 people to Haji Ali on our last walk. Chaupati is an open beach that is again accessible by everyone. So there are restrictions in places and you can't go around those restrictions. So you just access a part of the beach that is accessible. And I think the joy is not so much about just seeing, as I said, it's also about just experiencing that part of the city in silence, because Bombay is a noisy city. And to sort of get up and see that you can hear the waves and you can see things crawling around you and the bubbling sound of air escaping from the mud underneath your feet. I think all of that, and we give guidelines. You can't take anything home. You can't pick up. You can't harass anything for a photograph. So we find that over the hour and a half that people spend with us, they sort of walk away with an understanding that is the hope that allows people to engage with matters in their own ways. So that's the idea. The experience needs to be something that says, okay, this is something I want to perhaps be involved with and concerned about for a longer period than just my photographs.
Yeah.
What are some of the most interesting specimens that you've seen?
That cone snail thing sounded pretty deadly, and I have a habit of picking up stuff wherever, just to like, because now I'm like, okay, not picking up shells.
I mean, for me personally, it's been porcelain crabs. They're these incredibly maroon red crabs with a lot of color in them. A couple of scorpion fish, which we saw in Haji Ali. These are fish that don't swim but propel themselves and are highly, like their sting can hurt a lot. It's known to be one of the most painful pain or hurting that a human can experience. So two of them we've seen. Snappers. So you think of snapper, red snapper, you think of New Zealand and all the Kiwis going out in their boats and catching snappers, but there's snappers here as well. We've seen sharks and all the small colorful stuff. Like that cone snail was special, and to know that it's toxic. Conch shells laying eggs. So, you know, you think of conch shells as being completely things that have just formed on the ocean floor, but they too grow from something that has been laid and then grow in size. And there is a certain magic in that even people like who have interacted for a long time find it completely mind-blowing that can be experienced right here.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And do you want to tell us about the next walk? Because I know you're sort of on hold because of the monsoon, right?
So generally the western monsoons, the southwest monsoons, there's a police stopping from the end of May to the 1st of August, that 60-day period. Generally, the tides are around the 21st, 22nd of the month. So we're hoping that on the 21st, 22nd of August, we'll be clear of the monsoons and we'd be able to announce a public walk and take people out for that.
Great, great. And so people should just follow the Facebook page, right? Marine Life of Mumbai. And I mean, you get to see the photographs of all these things and they're quite amazing. And and also updates for the next one.
Yes, so we're on Instagram as well. It's Marine Life of Mumbai, and it's usually created as an event with a Google Form page to follow to register, and then we just get the spreadsheet and then email people out a couple of days before the walk with instructions. So fairly simple, just the Facebook page or the Instagram page is the place to go to.
Cool. Okay. Great. Thanks so much for being on our show.
Yeah, and that's it for this episode. And we'll be back next week.
You can find new episodes of the podcast every Monday on the IVM podcast app or any other podcasting app that you prefer, and on thedailypower.com.